why? Oh God, you are good. At another time, he's wondering if God is with him. Why? What is the cause of it? Let me remove this from my screen. What is the cause of it? So let's go back to the scriptures. Please, I pray that you will not only hear the word once, but you will make time to listen to the word again. I really pray. And by the way, I sense God is telling us, every one of us, that the least effort we make, revelation will come to you like a flood. Please hear me. I beg you.
Amen.
I sense God telling, wanting you to hear that the least effort you make, revelation will come upon you like a flood.
Amen.
Do you hear what I said?
Yes.
This is the promise of the Father to you, because you are his beloved and he paid a dear price for you. And there is a great degree of darkness that is coming. It is right next door to you. It's a darkness. It's like a cloud. And no man can overcome it except the Spirit of God. And God is saying to you, hear it, that every effort you make, every moment that you just begin to just take your eyes off your circumstances, situation, the prevailing situation in your face, and you just switch just to the Lord and his word, revelation will come to you. Strength will come to you. Abundance of grace will sweep you, and you will receive a strength to silence the voices. You will receive a strength, and it's of God and by God. And the least effort you just put in, it's coming. It's flowing like a river. It's yours. I pray that you receive it.
Amen. I receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
So now, the principal causes of backsliding. Let's read the scripture. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Luke 8, verse 13. Let's read it real quick. Luke 8, verse 13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, they on the rock, this is basically the parable of the sower that Jesus elaborated. It says, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, so they really hear. So it says, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. Now that puts you in a different category. Anyone who hears and receives the word with joy. How many of you, I can say of each one of you listening to me, you out of your own words telling me moments when hopelessness and fear had gripped you, and you yourself have told me before how you would just remember the word, or just strength came, or how you even came to church and you heard something and strength came again and hope came. It's like that. It says that they on the rock are they, which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. They receive the word with joy. But it goes on and says, and these have no root. They have no root. So then you ask yourself, they hear the word, they receive the word with joy. Why do they not continue in it? And Jesus said that they have no roots, which for a while they believe. For a while they do what?
They believe.
Listen, Bible says that not all men have faith. The reason why darkness is going to increase dramatically is because not the reason why people will give up on you. People, close friends and close relatives and loved ones can easily turn around and give up on you is because not all men have faith, or not all men believe. But he's saying that these are a people, they hear the word, they receive with joy, but they have no roots. So they believe for a while. They believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. They believe that you're the righteousness of God. They believe that a price has been paid and God has made him or her a son or a daughter, purchased by blood, sins forgiven. A new creature is on the scene. A new life has been birthed, and you are it. I am it. We are it. So they believe for a while. And in time of temptation, or in time of testing, they fall away. In time of testing, they fall away. So they have no root. What do you call something which has no root?
Shallow.
Exactly. So the first cause of backsliding is shallowness. 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 It's not that you don't believe. You believe it. It's not that you're not born again. You are. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he power. The power, the authority, the right to become sons of God or children of God. That's believing. It says as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of, even to them that believe. So what you believe, automatically you receive something. You receive something. Today, you know, I wanted to read something with you. It is what God has done. That when you hear the word preached and you receive it and say, I love it. I like it. I make this Jesus my Lord automatically, instantaneously. You receive something inside you. It is inside you, and it becomes a wellspring. A wellspring. A wellspring is something that supplies continually. That's a wellspring. That's what Jesus said, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let's read that scripture. John 7, verse 37. Let's read from verse 37. John 7, from verse 37. Holy Spirit, please help every one of us hearing your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your impartation. Oh, thank you that you are setting your sons and daughters free from every bondage. Right now. Thank you that every voice is being silenced. Jesus is speaking, says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So he says, if any man thirst, if any man is overwhelmed with life, the frustration, things that have come upon you, which you did not even partake of, but they have become your portion. It says, if you are thirsty, come unto me and drink. So you come. 1, 2, you drink. So go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. He that believeth on me. He that believeth on me. Now, Jesus speaking. How many of you believes in Jesus? Every one of you. Because you have received him and you believe in him. You heard it and you said, it is true and it is mine. And I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. Now notice, he doesn't say out of your mind. This is very important. It says out of your belly, which is to say out of your innermost being. Your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This is what I call the wellspring. A wellspring is something that supplies continually. It doesn't stop. And it is the spirit who brings this into your innermost being. It is there. But notice that he said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall flow. So the river is there. The wellspring is there because you have believed, because you have received, because he has made you a child of God, a son, a daughter of God, purchased by blood. Every curse that was upon you, he has ended it. It is not your belief that makes it true. Your belief is only to bring the experience. You say, what? How do you say that? Because demons, they believe, they tremble, but they cannot connect with this experience because it was not made for them. It was made for us. So it is not your belief that brings you in it. No. Your beliefs bring the experience of that which was done for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like an orange, as I keep on saying, it's always been sweet. You've never known that it's sweet. But it's the day that you bite into it, you say, I'm going to eat this orange every day of my life. You've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sweetness was made for you.
Mm-hmm.
But all this while, you have never tasted of this mm-hmm. pleasantness because you have not bitten into it. Mm-hmm. You are not, are you with me?
Yes. Yeah.
So he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But go to the next verse. Then it says, this, 39, please. But this spake he of the Spirit. So that which you are, that which is going to come from your innermost being, he is saying that it is of the Spirit. It is the Spirit who will bring it forth. He doesn't bring it to your mind. The Spirit has not come to live in your mind. No. It says, but this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So as he was speaking, none of them had received it because Jesus had not been glorified. That is how come Peter could deny Jesus. He had not received the Spirit. So out of his belly, there was nothing like a spiritual wellspring that will flow rivers, that will cause him to look at danger and say, you have no power over me. You want to kill me? Well, go ahead and kill me. No, he couldn't do that. He was in bondage to his flesh. But after Jesus was glorified, meaning after he resurrected and took his place upon the right hand of the Father, now the Spirit has come. And it's inside you, it's inside me, so that no man who receives him will any longer live in bondage to his flesh, will no longer live in bondage to what makes sense. That no. If I don't deny this man, they will kill me as they are killing him. No, so I will deny him. I will deny him as long as the issue comes up. So he did it 3 times. And you can't blame him. He was in bondage to the flesh. Every disciple ran away. They were all afraid. They said, look at the way they're going to kill him. If they say that, if they link me to him, they can kill me exactly as the way they are killing him. And so everybody run, if it's one for himself, God for us all. True or false?
True.
That is not your story anymore.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what is playing before you. That is not your story anymore. No, nothing has power. Nothing has power over you. Why? Because now the King of Glory has not only purchased you, but he has come to dwell inside you. And he says, I'm not in your head. I'm in your spirit. I'm in your innermost being. Now, after this has happened, he says, you must drink. You must drink. From where? From your innermost being. You see it?
Yep.
Isn't nobody said that, come unto me and drink?
Yes.
So he brings forth the thing that you drink from, but he says that you are going to drink now from your innermost being. Now you will find out that your mind does not respect anything that is in your innermost being. That is why your first reaction is, I'm going to do that which will benefit me. I'm going to choose the option that will benefit me. Listen to me. Well, let's read the scriptures so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Let's read it from the Passion Translation. I'm talking about shallowness. What does it exactly mean? What does it mean? And how do I know whether I am living this shallow life and therefore not deriving the benefits, not enjoying all the privileges, the greatest privilege of being made a child of God. Purchased, owned. There is a name that I have access to, that you have access to, that you have right to. Now, look at Galatians 5, verse 13, the passion. Now, please, understand something, though. You're going to see that, let's read it and you see it. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. Where? In the Holy Spirit. The life of freedom is to be lived in the Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell?
In you.
In your innermost being. So this God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all we do. Now, listen, I want us to just read the scripture in the King James, and then we'll go back to continue so that you can understand the difference between living by drawing from the death and living by drawing from the shallow level. The shallow level is the flesh, and everybody has it, even after you are born again. But inside you is also the place where the wellspring, the life, the Spirit of God, the life of God, where you are now made a child of God to partake of sonship. You are a child of God. It is God who has done it. You didn't have to do anything. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You just hear it. You receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You believe it's yours. And you say that you are it. That's all. And when you say it, the devils around, every demonic power, it's forced to acknowledge what you have received and what you say you are. That's why he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that it is God who has raised him up from the dead and therefore has raised you from the deadness that you were in.
Mm-hmm.
So that now you have a new life. Every demonic power, every curse, every oppression must acknowledge what you are now, what you have received, and what you are declaring. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good. So he says, now, please, let's read it in the King James, this particular scripture. And then we will go to verse 14 and begin to read it from the Passion. Now, it says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the
flesh.
So he's saying that you've been called to a deliverance, a liberty, a freedom from what oppressed you, from whatever. Listen, and every one of us, you know, was in that situation. He says you've been called unto liberty, freedom from the bondage, from the oppression, from the nature that has ruled all of us, so that you are born, a child is born, and the father is not in the house, because the father said that I found another woman who I like. And so you are forced to be brought up by a mother. And it was not supposed to be so. So frustrations begin at your birth. You don't know why. And you can't change it. It is the case. So when God sends his son, it's to deliver us from the bondage which did not begin with us. And to bring us into a liberty where now you live as a true child of God. You are free. From wherever you came from, you are free from a race. You are free from a tribe. You are free from a tongue. You are free from nationality. You are free. But he says, only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Meaning that even though now the Spirit of God has come and has brought with him a spring of life inside you, be careful that you don't trivialize, overlook this well, this life springing from within you, and continue to live as though you are a person of the flesh, where you live by reason. You live by what makes sense. You live by what will benefit you. You live by 1 + 1 must be 2. If it's not 2, I'll throw it away. I don't stand for nonsense. Now, this is how we all were. Your education does not change this. It's what we were until Christ came on the scene. Then it says, but by love, serve one another. It's a new nature. It's a new life. Where now you're no longer in bondage to the flesh, but now you draw from your spirit. Now listen to me. When a child is born, the child has legs. He has his limbs together. He has his hands. But you find out that this child can't even crawl, even though he has legs. Why? Why? Even when it begins to crawl, you have to give it a longer time for it to learn how to now begin to walk. But say, it has legs. Why is it not walking? Why is it not, first of all, crawling? And then moving on to walking. So that everywhere you go, you have to carry this child. It is because the legs does not even respect what a ground is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't know what is this supposed to be used for? So this child comes to this world, he sees the father, the mother, the siblings, either crawling or walking. And so it can't lay in bed forever. It eats for strength. Strength enters the limbs. The limbs now makes him now begin to crawl. As he's crawling, he finds out that, nobody crawls in this house. I'm the only one who crawls. And so he tries to lay hold of things, but he can't stand. Then the father says, come on. Then the mother buys him something because you must walk. What is happening? But even when he begins to walk, he falls. Why? In the Akan, they call it Ninai NG form. Ninai NG form, meaning that the leg has not familiarized itself with the ground so that it knows that this ground, it has to be worked on to accomplish my purposes. And so we just keep on. Now, when you are born again, the same thing happens. You cannot keep on lying down there, immobile. Initially, that's the case. But then, in a few months, you find out that now start crawling. What does it mean? There is input. Input that is coming inside you so that now you don't continually poop anywhere. You don't continually pass out the gas anywhere and everywhere as it's coming. As the edge comes, it's flowing. Are you with me?
Yes.
You don't do that. You don't do that. But as you now, so something happens before you, Christ came on the scene, your interpretation is on the spot. You saw this, it means this. This is how it is. You are shallow. You can't help it. Now, as you begin to feed on the word, something begins to happen inside you. You who were so intolerant, you hear something and your reaction is now different. You say, hey, you used to smoke. Now I found out you don't smoke. You used to drink. Now I found out you don't drink. Why? Because you have consideration to the fact that you are a vessel purchased by God, and God himself has come to dwell inside here. So you cannot join yourself to things that do not edify the presence. You don't speak anyhow, you don't think anyhow, you don't drink, you don't join in conversations anyhow. What is happening to you? You are no longer, so your degree of bondage to the flesh is coming down. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's coming down. Until the time such that your friends have changed, because you find out that the friends that you had, they don't respect what has happened to you. They don't respect this one that whom you call Lord. They don't respect, they don't speak his language. And and you find out that their presence becomes more comfortable. Uh-huh. Just like for a child, you see, there is this child in my house, Yena. Now, when he wants to poop, he goes to hide because he finds out that this poop stinks and it's not pleasant. I don't want everybody around me to know that it's happening. Something is happening, but just a few months ago, he didn't know what it was. He didn't care what it was. Anywhere is an ideal place, an ideal time. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how it is. Why? Something is happening to him. Is that thing happening to you? Yes. Don't ignore it. Until you come to the place where you become, what do you call it? Your conscience becomes sealed. Don't get there. So it says, allow it to happen. Desire the sincere milk of the word. You find that you begin to grow. It is something that is a natural development for you. And it is God who began it. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it says, do not use this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't keep talking anyhow. Don't keep explaining things by the way you used to explain things. Don't keep seeing things by the way you used to see things. Otherwise, you could only be shallow. But by love, serve one another. Can you go back to and go to verse 14, but go to the passion. Yeah. So let's read it quickly. And I pray that you get what Holy Spirit is going to show you. So it says, for love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love. The love of God is now shed abroad in your heart. You who could not overlook a fault. You listen to me. Your mind will never allow you to overlook a fault because each time you see it, you remember it. It tells you that this guy, he's so wicked. He's so ungrateful. Look at what I did. Look at how I sacrificed. And look at how he responded. That is our mind. But you don't continually live or draw from your mind. No. Your mind does not respect anything that is inside your spirit. So now you begin to draw from your spirit. So he says, demonstrate love to your neighbor. Even as you care for and love your own self. Go to the next verse quickly. Then he continues and says, but if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you are acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new and all things are of God. You are no longer a wild beast. So don't behave like a wild beast. Don't say that what God has brought forth is a wild beast. How dare you? You are not a wild beast. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So don't act like wild beast. How can God in the resurrection through Jesus bring forth something that is of his nature and you are behaving like a wild beast? Then don't continue to act like wild beast. So next verse, go on. Then it says, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon. You will what?
Abandon.
The cravings of your self-life or your flesh. So when you yield to the move, the life, when a child eats food, nobody tells the food what to do. The food goes and distributes and gives strength to the limbs, and he who could not move the legs now is moving it, now is crawling, now is beginning to run around and dance everything in the house upside down. Likewise, because you have received the Spirit, it says yield. Why? Why do you yield? He's moving, he's there, but you must yield. But you can also come to a stop. A traffic light. You can choose to just pass by and get a ticket, of course. But you can choose to say, I'm yielding to the stop. Are you with me?
Yes.
Likewise, as you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon. So once you yield to the Spirit, automatically you abandon the cravings of your flesh or your self-life. If you don't yield, the flesh continually exercises its effect and you operate like a wild beast. Go on to the next verse. For your self-life or your flesh, it craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit. Your flesh, my flesh. You say you are born again. Yes, I know that. I'm born again. Yes. My flesh, it doesn't respect anything of that sort. All it knows that you do me, I do you. You offend me, I cut you out. That's how my flesh is. And that's how yours is. It will never stop until the day it is put into the casket. For your self-life, crave the thing that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living freely within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you. Who is he referring to you? The born-again Christian, true or false?
True.
A person who's not born again doesn't have all these problems. That's why when you look at, sometimes a guy looks at a lady, the lady turns and sees the guy looking at her. And the guy doesn't even attempt to take his eyes off. He makes the lady know that I am looking at you. I'm looking at all your property. Are you with me? Because the guy does not raise, like you see me looking at you, so what? Let me look at you. So what? You see, there is nothing that even causes the, because you, a Christian, when you look at a girl, the girl looks at you, practically say, oh no. True or false?
True.
It's like some things are not to be seen, even though the girl is showing it. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So he says, wow. So he says, the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. Do you see the two powers?
Mm-hmm.
So they are there. One is in your spirit. The other is in your flesh. We used to all be in bondage to the flesh, but no more. Now, we have the right to yield to the Spirit who is within us, or we have the right to also ignore the Spirit and say, flesh, take charge. I love your leading. You know, you have the option. So he says, go on. Verse 18. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. See, this is how you move from shallowness. Mm-hmm. Majority of Christians are shallow. I must tell you that. Majority. So, if the thing is happening, they are passing their comments. They don't even take a moment to even reconsider anything. No. Because the flesh rules, so to speak. Verse 19. The cravings of the flesh or the self-life, they are obvious. Sexual immorality. Listen, your flesh will not stop being sexually immoral. If it will stop, girls would have stopped showing so much. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Lustful thoughts. Pornography. That's your flesh. Whose flesh? The person who's born again. The person who has the Spirit of God inside her or him. Mm-hmm. Listen. Go on. Chasing after things instead of God. Manipulating others.
Of course.
Hatred of those who get in your way. Listen, no. Hatred of those who get in, you hate them. It's the flesh. It's the work of the flesh. It hates those who get in the way. Senseless arguments. Resentment when others are favored. Temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. Listen, this is how the flesh operates. It doesn't matter how many years you've been born again. Doesn't matter how many tongues you're speaking. Doesn't matter what gifts of the Spirit you have. this is how your flesh operates. Go to the next verse. Being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? So this is the consequence of being shallow. You continue to live not yielding to the Spirit. He's there, but you just ignore him. He is there to bring to pass what you can't do. What God wants to bring to pass, the Holy Spirit is the one who is present. For by strength shall no man prosper. No. So the Holy Spirit has come and he's just waiting to be allowed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And if you allow him, you will grow. You will grow till now you stop crawling. Till now you begin to take steps. Steps. It's not natural. I mean, it's beyond the world. You judge differently. You see things and you see them differently from what the natural person sees and says. You are growing. You are growing. Desire the sincere milk of God that you may grow thereby. Anyway, so this is what God has purposed for you and for me. That his Spirit will come and accomplish his purposes. And you are just a vessel who is just allowing the Spirit to bring forth his life. And you find out that you begin to move out of shallowness into death. And unfortunately, you cannot, you see, the only way a child begins to learn how to walk is that he's allowed. The child is allowed to crawl in the house. Is allowed. If you confine the child to his crib, the child will not be able to walk. True or false? Likewise, God will not remove the issues of life from around you. No, you must be put into it. That is why when you go to see the doctor, you want the one who is experienced, the one who has handled. My wife will tell me that some of the doctors who came from Wayne. Because they have seen all kinds of very serious, chaotic, metal, all kinds of sins. They have seen it. It's not because they call for it. You are baptized into it. So find that as it's coming, your supervising physician is doing it. And you are watching it. You are watching it. Because you find out that after one or two operations, you say, hey, boy, do it. So you are forced to just see. And see carefully, watch carefully, because the next time he won't be there. You're the one who'll be doing it. So you are full, you are baptized into the realities of life. And as you begin to do it, you make all your mistakes. It's okay. God is not troubled by your falling. The righteous man falls how many times?
Seven times.
God is not offended by that, because that's the only way. That's the only way you will move on. That's why when your child is crawling and is falling 50 million times, it's not a problem, because that is the only way it can work. True or false? But true. It must be allowed to fall. It must be allowed to do that. Meaning that God will allow the testing to be around you. People will offend you. You have a cause to be offended genuinely. You experience hatred. And God says, I am not delivering you from people hating you. Oh, no. Hmm. You must overcome the hatred.
Wow.
How can you manifest my nature? You have been shielded from. That's why the children who were shielded from ever being involved in chaotic situations, they crumble. They crumble on the least provocation. But come and see those who have been baptized. There was no wall in their house. All the elements were coming against them. They became wild. So when you come along and say, hey, I will take you on. You want to finish me? I'll finish you first. That's how they are. They have been baptized into the chaotic situations. They have mastered the art of defending themselves. But likewise, now God also wants to bring his life from within you to the forefront. And he does it by exposing you to the elements.
Wow.
But the elements will not overcome you. Why?
Just as
you also did not allow the stove, the burner in your house, which has the power to burn the fingers completely of your child. The burners in the house did not finish, did not burn your child's hands. Why?
I'm gonna do this today. Yeah. It's not true.
Please, if you have to talk, please mute yourself.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes.
There's a burner in your house. It could have burnt your child's hands. It could have crippled, things in the house could have crippled your child. But they are also beneficial. So the presence of the parents ensured that in the midst of the things that can take you out, you are safe to fall and rise up, fall, rise up, till now you walk. So you spend 13. And it says, now I'm leaving your sister with you. Take care of your sister.
Wow.
True or false?
True.
That's how it is. That's how when you go to school, they will let you write exams for class one, exam for class two, exam for class three. Until I came here, I didn't know that when you finish kindergarten, they perform graduation ceremony. When you finish high school, they perform graduation ceremony. In my country, where I come from, you have to finish university before you will see celebration of anything, because all these things are nothing. Anyway, what I'm saying is that you have to go through it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we must kill shallowness out of you. Mm. And the only way is to be baptized into the situations, the offense, the rejections, the abuse, the terrible talkings. And he says, do not use your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. So where's the love coming from? It's from within you. It's from within you. It's there. He would not expect you to walk in it except he has put it in there. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm preaching, you
know. Bitch.
Wow. Now, so the thing that you do, you must now begin to understand them. That's what last week I told you that. I was awake. I said, why tongues? And then I got the answer. It's because your mind does not respect the tongues. Mm. And if you don't speak it, your mind will cause you to ignore the gift. You get it?
Yes.
So your mind says it's a foolish thing that you are doing. What is that? What is that? Your mind does not respect anything spiritual. And until you engage it and say, shut up, mind. Your mind, you must shut it up.
Mm-hmm.
To take you to hell. You'll be amazed. To take you to things that you only do things that make sense. Yeah. Number two, emptiness. Empty. Of course, it's so close to being shallow. Emptiness. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. We read, it says that. Please give me 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. So we must let our roots go deeper. We must let our roots go deeper. We must let when the legs begin to go deeper, find out that this same boy is not walking. He can run. So he says, now emptiness, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, another version says, I am no better than an echoing bronze. Echoing bronze. You hear echo only when there is emptiness. True or false?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When something is full of stuff, it's full of matter, you cannot hear the echo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So empty Christians become targets. Bible says that, and when he, an evil spirit, the evil spirit cometh, he finds it unoccupied. The evil spirit comes and finds out that it is not occupied.
Mm.
It finds out, the evil spirit comes, it finds out that this man, I used to dwell here. I used to bring all my curses, my power to afflict and torment. I used to have all this ability over him or over her. But one day he became free. And he goes and walks around and he finds nowhere to rest. He says, I'm going back to where I came out from to see. And when he comes, he finds out that the place where he was sacked from, the place is empty. He says, I love it. And so when you are empty, you become the target of devils. One day, the disciples were looking to appoint somebody for an assignment. Bible said that, and they found Stephen. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith. He was full of living a life of what Jesus did and what he has become because of what Jesus did. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what it means to be full of faith. Jesus came. Why did he die? Why was he cursed? Why was he wounded? Why was he rejected by God? Why did he go through every one of those things? Was it for himself? No. Who was it for? Me and the world. Okay. Then I believe that what he did, if it was for me, then I am it. That's being full of faith. That's all. It's not, I'm trying to believe it. No. What do you mean? Didn't your mama tell you were a boy and you said, I am a boy?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't your father tell you you are my daughter and you said, I'm a girl? I am daddy's girl. That's all. You don't go around, daddy says you are my daughter, and you say, no, I'm daddy's son. I mean, it doesn't work like that. You receive truth and you say, I am it. That's what it means to be full of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you're not waiting for it to make sense. No. That's what it means to be humble. It means to be a child. A child receives truth from the authority set over him. Now, because we are children of God, we receive our truth from the one who is our God and Lord, Jesus Christ. So you look at yourself and you hear all these voices telling you what is wrong with you, how you become nothing, how it's hopeless, how tomorrow shall become terrible. You say, who is talking? Who is talking? Mm-hmm. How dare you talk to me? Did you pay for my, did you pay for me? Did you buy me? Mm-hmm. Did your blood wash me? Then how dare you talk to me? Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to turn to the one who is my Lord. He has authority and right over who I am, what he will do with me, how he will take care of me tomorrow, how he will resolve the issues around here. And so I am going to wait and listen to what he says.
Mm.
It's called the shepherd of my soul.
Wow.
The devil is not, shall not, will never be the shepherd of your soul. He hits you to the core and he tells you everything that is not true about you. And he shows it to you because he knows that you are always looking for things to make sense to you. He says that you are a boy of flesh. You are a girl of flesh. So I will make sense to your flesh so that you will easily, effortlessly receive that which I show you. But then, you who are born of the Spirit, where you receive your life from within you, you say, wait a minute.
Mm.
Wait a minute. This is what I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've been delivered from it. This is who I am now. I receive from that which is within me. I don't look up. I don't look side. I look here. That place is called incorruptible.
Mm-hmm.
It receives only from God. It receives only truth. It knows what is true. It doesn't respect every other situation around. It doesn't bow to issues and circumstances. It says, I'm a child of God.
Wow.
The one who paid for me has come to live inside me. I receive from him. He's here. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand this, but I'm going to wait. I'm not going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to make a decision. I'm not just going to act. No. I used to be that. We all used to be that. But we are now set free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting. They who wait upon the Lord. I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? You will die. You are a fool. You must run. Wait. Who are you? Are you my God? Did you die for me? Did you pay for my life? Did you remove the curse from my life? Hey, who are you? See. So suddenly you are now beginning to grow from the one who poop is coming, poop comes. I mean, the urge to poop is coming, it comes.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy knows that. So look. So we can't afford to be. Now, number three, It's lust. Lust. Now, Paul wrote a scripture. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. I'm moving a little bit fast so that we can just get some few things in place and then we end. Okay? Are you guys flowing with me so far? Or do you hate me?
Yeah.
You're flowing with me, right? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Mm-hmm. For Demas has forsaken me. For Demas has what?
Forsaken me.
Why? Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Listen, the guy loves his comfort. He loves his benefits. He loves his self-life. So he said, listen, I believe in Jesus. I'll fall in love with Jesus. I receive the word with joy. I all that. But look, you know what? A man's got to do what a man's got to do. So I'm going to search for what will help me. I'm tired of all these things. I am tired. So he forsakes the apostle. Why? He loves the present world. So he departed and he moved. And he said, and you will search. And you will search. And you will search. So he moved unto Thessalonica, unto Crescens, unto Galatia, to Titus, to Dimension. You find out that nothing can fill that void because God put it there.
Hmm.
It's as simple as that. And the frustration is meant to bring you back to your first love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's God's love for you anyway. It's God's love for you. Say, I will never allow you to be satisfied until you come back because your desire, I know, is for me because I put it there. You love me. And you are going a searching because you don't know that the love that you're looking for, the satisfaction, the joy, the peace, is right within you. That's why even when you go to Galatia or to Titus, Dalmatia, once you are Dalmatia and you say, I return. He says, that's taking you too long. Come, I'm here. That's why, my God. Listen to me. He's saying to me again. I'm going to pour out a greater degree and depth of revelation to my children. The least effort is coming to them.
Amen.
I love them.
Amen.
He is afflicted, but now he will buy. He will apply the balm of Gilead. Oh, he has afflicted, but now he will apply the balm. The affliction was to draw you back to that first love. And now get ready for the application of the balm of Gilead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preaching.
Mm-hmm.
He's here. I tell you.
Yeah.
My God, you will see. You will see how you and your children are going to prosper in his love. You will see it. Just don't be stubborn. That's all. Just begin to just hear. Just begin to just listen. Say, Lord, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Come back. Don't go! So now, last. Now, listen to me. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 16. Let's read it quickly. For all that is in the world. Oh, please give it to me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We don't have much time. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love it. Don't fall in love with it. They are an attraction. Oh, my goodness. The sights. The thing that you see, the thing that you can touch, the things that you can feel, the things that, oh man, sometimes you move into a home or you move into a place and say, I want to live here. Of course, it's an attraction. It's a powerful attraction. Sometimes you are in your car, then you see another car and you see the design. You say, wow, if I drive in this car, I'll have peace. No, you can't have peace. It doesn't come like that. Nobody has it until the one who has made a Christ. Anyway, so it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, it is this or that, or it is that or this. That's how it is. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So whatever he brings you, you use it. you use it for his glory. He said, hey, I will use you for his glory. I have it, fine. I don't have it, fine. I'm not going to say that he doesn't love me. That's why he didn't give me this. Oh, foolish talk. No. Don't talk like that. So that's what Paul said. I've learned it. How to dwell in lack or abundance. If it's there, I'll enjoy it. If it's not there, I know how to be abased. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go to next verse. So it says, for all that is in the world, all, no exemption, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Listen to me. It's not like you are exempt from these things. Oh, please. Don't you ever think. A whole certain attraction, a pull, the devil knows it. Otherwise, he would not have tempted even the Son of Man with his attraction by taking him to the pinnacle and say, look at it. Look at the glory realm. Oh, look at it. It's all yours. It was such an attraction. The devil will never tempt you with something that you hate. I imagine the devil trying to tempt me with alcohol. I have no taste, no desire for it. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, why would he bring it? It doesn't hold any affection. But the other things that he knows that I like, say, I'm going to get him on this. And then the grace of God comes and says, not my son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's how it is. Because he will not suffer you to be overburdened with that which you're not able to handle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, your flesh will never, your flesh will never stop lusting. Your flesh will never be satisfied with the abundance thereof. It will never. It will never. It will never. It will never. Your eyes will never be satisfied with the seeing of this, of the things. It will never. It will never. Until you stop receiving from them. They are there. They are ever present with you. But they have vehicles that the enemy uses to take you out of drawing from that which is life. It holds such a powerful attraction to us. It is the cause of church split, this marriage breakdown, relationship issues. It is the devil uses it. And the pride of life, that which will make you feel, you have to be recognized. You have to be honored. Hey, you have to be appreciated. Hey, you have to, your effort must be realized. The pride of life. If we all have it. This is the not of the Father. When God sent his son, it was not to modify our fleshly behavior. No. It is so that we will live a new life. It is a life of the spirit. It's not a life of the flesh. So it's not behavior modification. It's a new life where now you live from another realm where what he says is what you respond to, not what speaks to you from around you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If the things around you are able to speak to you, fear, anxiety, mental torture, emotional duress shall be your portion. I'm telling you something true. It says that it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Number four, I'm closing. Bitterness. I know, I wish I could spend an hour on this because it is a very powerful tool that the enemy has used to break down families, break down, destroyed people who are loved ones or who are supposed to be loved ones. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Give me Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. You know, some years ago, I wrote something about this scripture. And today, I just went to read it. I was shocked. I think I will read it. I believe I should read it. It says, looking diligently. It says, look, and look diligently. You know, when it's like the exam. This exam is going to make or break you. read the questions diligently. Read the question how?
Diligently.
So it means that don't just run through it and just choose an answer. When you fail, you will go back to square one. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So it's just like there is such the presence and an abundance of grace. But if you don't look diligently, you will fail of it. You will fail. It's like a mother's breast full of the milk and the child and the difficulty of latching onto it. The child fails of the greatest nourishment designed by God for the child. So that now the mother has to resort to formula, an inferior replacement, inferior to the superior, now becomes the portion of this baby because it's a difficulty in latching on. You have failed of the grace. Are you with me?
Yes.
Just look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. The moment you fail from latching onto the grace of God that makes all things possible for you. You know, Aglinic was talking about the rest of God. It's the place where now it is not your effort that produces results. It is the Spirit of God. For it is not by might, but it's by the power of God. It's by the Spirit of God. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. So grace causes the Spirit to administer His justice in your life, His goodness in your life. But if you don't look diligently and say, hey, this thing that I'm seeing, I will not talk about it. I'll not talk about it. No. I will not pass any judgment, any comment. Hey, you, I will love you until I die. Even though you hate me, I will love you. What are you doing? You are looking diligently, lest. Because if you begin to respond to what the person is doing, you will fail of the grace of God. What's going to happen? A root of bitterness. Now, a root of bitterness. I looked into the dictionary meaning of bitterness. You know, for lack of time, I'm not going to even share the notes that I wrote. But bitterness says distasteful or distressing to the mind. A comment that somebody will pass at your workplace. It will begin to become so distressing to your mind, it will give you sleepless nights. A foolish man who has no faith, does not respect the work of God, the Spirit of God, has spoken, and it is bringing distress to your mind. It's wow. Giving you sleepless nights. You have failed of the grace of God. The grace that delivers you, the grace that exempts you, the grace that silences the voices, the grace that makes you rise above the elements, the grace of God that makes you overcome every fear, every anxiety. You are filled of it. Why? Because you are not looking diligently. You are looking at things and you are addressing them in natural realm. You say, this means that, this means that, this means that. Do this, I'll do this. I'll do this to preserve myself. Say, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You are not looking diligently. And now you are failing the grace of God. Mental torture, emotional duress, financial ruin. It's coming for you. It's coming for you. When God says, oh, no man, but to love. You look diligently. Who is the one who needs to be loved? Because listen, you know what? This morning, God told me something. Listen to me. Listen to me. When somebody is misbehaving before you, my voice comes to you and it says, I have made you a king and I've made you a priest for only one purpose. Will you allow me to deliver him? Will you allow me to deliver him? Will you allow me to deliver her? Will you allow me? Because that's why you're a priest. So God is waiting to see if his sons and daughters will allow him to deliver the people who are causing the wreaking the havoc, bringing the hatred, talking anyhow, abusing us, because he wants to deliver them. Why? Because the gift of God also belongs to them. That's why he has made us kings and priests unto him. Are you kidding? Please, am I preaching above your head?
No.
So God, can you imagine, Amy? God is standing next to you and saying, will you allow me to deliver this boy, this girl, in your face? Will you allow me? The only way you allow him is that you look at what he's doing and you don't let it get to you. Is that how do you do that? You look diligently. How do you do that? You get your roots begin to become deeper. How do you do that? When you read the word, you say, the word says, I am this. I can't behave that way. That's all. Are you with me?
Yes.
And it is God's grace which establishes God's purposes in your life. It's not your effort and it's like, I'm trying and I am going to. When did you allow your child to try to get access to food? Ah, you are the one who brings the food and you beg the child to eat. True or false?
True.
You are begging the child, eat for me. When you eat, it will enter into my stomach. What are you doing? Just say, I will eat. He said, please, I'll give you this. Hey, true or false? That's how God is. That's how God is. That's how God is. I'm telling you something. Because he knows that there's an enemy who is out for your life. And he must also act for his children. Because no man can come against those entities. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It says, that which is distressing to the mind. It's galling. You know how the gallbladder, and those who, like all the women here, you know how you have dealt with chicken before? If the gall spills into the chicken, the whole thing is spoiled, right? It becomes bitter. So the whole thing has to be thrown away. So if you don't look diligently, you will fill up the grace of God, bitterness, something that will come and corrupt the entire thing. It's coming. It's galling. It says, it's marked by intensity or severity. These are all dictionary meanings of the word bitterness. Marked by intensity or severity, intense animosity, intensely unpleasant. Hey! And Bishop writes, and he says that many people who walk out of a church are offended Christians who became bitter. They were probably genuinely offended, but their wounds never healed. He says, when my wife was pregnant with our second son, Joshua, I sometimes went with her to the antenatal clinic to while away the time. I engaged in conversation with one of the doctors. One morning, as I chatted with this doctor, I noticed that one of his toes was missing. He had a missing toe. So I asked, what happened to your toe? He answered, I'm a diabetic patient, and I once had an injury to that toe. You know, the wounds of some diabetic patients don't easily heal. He continued, I hit my toe on an object, but after some time, the wound did not heal. This wound deteriorated until it affected my whole leg. He lamented about how the doctors had even considered amputating his whole leg. However, in the end, they decided to cut off only the toe in question. It was a very traumatic experience for me. That is how I ended up without a toe, he concluded. So as I mused over the story of this missing toe, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, this is what happens to Christians who get hurt and never fully recover from their hurts. The Holy Spirit showed me how many Christians and pastors allow their heads to degenerate into unhealed, gangrenous wounds of the heart. He continued, they separate themselves from other Christians in the name of being cautious. In the name of being what?
Cautious
and not wanting to be hurt all over again. I'm going to protect myself. Yeah. That's the wisdom. That's the wisdom of the world. We all have it. That's how we operated in the world until we came into Christ. This separation eventually leads to total isolation from the body of Christ and backsliding. Now, let me tell you another story. It says, sometimes I think of all the hurts I've experienced in this ministry and how they have intended to isolate me. I can remember when my former pastor offended me and refused to support me when I started out in ministry. I invited all the pastors I knew to my wedding, but none of them attended. when it was time to take group pictures, the master of ceremonies called out for all pastors to come forward. But there was no one. I was totally rejected by the other ministers in the city. A close family friend and neighbor once called me the leader of a cult. I've had trusted pastors betray me and turn against me. I have experienced midstream desertion in ministry by trusted people. I have had faithful church members I invested a lot in fight against me. I even decided the point to stay away from interactions with many people. But as I thought about this month too, I realized what was gradually happening to me. I was being cut off from the rest of the church in Ghana, just like this month too. The master was scattered from the rest of the world. And it was all because of unhealed wounds and hurts. I decided then to allow the wounds in me to heal. Listen to me. Listen to me. Anything that God does, last week we learned that he will put it to the test to see if his work is genuine. That is why I told you guys last week that even after he has bound the serpent, the prince, the old deceiving serpent, bound him, put him into the bottomless pit, he shall release him after 1,000 years to come and wreak another havoc, to see if the people, after tasting of the absence of the devil, have learned how to walk only in God. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Why? His work must be tested. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to expose us. Why? Because he's a parent. He's a father. He's watching. He said, the evil are present, but I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of the enemies. Who prepares the table for you?
God.
Exactly. It's not, oh, I'm striving. Oh, I'm going to do my best. You are a child, please. Don't stop being a child. Children don't provide for themselves. Parents made the provision. Father also made a provision for you and me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. There one time I was in the office counseling when a young man came to me. He boldly stated, I have decided to be in your church because I believe this is where God wants me to be. I queried, why did you leave your former church? He replied, I was led by the Spirit to come here. I asked, apart from the Spirit's leading, did anything else happen to you to make you decide to leave that church? He hesitated. Well, there was a slight problem. And he went on and on about problems that had arisen in his previous church. I immediately knew that what I suspected was true. This man was hurt, and his unresolved hurts had caused him to be cut off from his church. This is one of the commonest reasons for people backsliding and leaving churches. Well, here ends the reading of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So please, let's take these points properly. Number one, the causes, shallowness, being shallow. You are supposed to get your roots deeper by just feasting on the word. But you want to read the word of God, let the word tell you what God says you are. Don't let the word tell you what God says you must do to become. It's never true. That's the devil's voice. The word of God reveals Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you see your new life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's very important. It took me so many years to get this thing because I couldn't get it. The word of God reveals to you what Jesus says he has made you. His life in you is that. Anyway, so number one is shallowness. Number two is emptiness. What's number three?
Last.
Powerful. What's number four?
Bitterness.
Hallelujah. Well, how many of you have enjoyed God's word today? There are a few more other reasons, but our time has come to an end. The Lord is with us, mighty and strong, Amen. Your deliverer, your savior, the one who establishes you and causes you to know peace and causes your household to dwell in light in the midst of darkness, raging darkness. He says, it shall not come near you. You will see 1,000 fall at your left, 10,000 at your right. It says, it will not come nigh thee, but only with thy eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. Don't be wicked by ignoring his love. The wicked are those who ignore his love and his faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. Let's rise to our feet. Say with me, I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I have been purchased by blood. The blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my sins. Including those which I may somehow commit.
Including those which I may somehow commit.
And the sacrifice of his death.
And the sacrifice of his death
has ended my life.
Has ended my life.
It's no longer I who live.
It
is Christ himself who lives in me.
Therefore,
I no longer live in bondage to my flesh. But I respond to the movement of the Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, my blessed Savior.
Thank you, my blessed Savior.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit.
Okay, now reach out for your communion. Reach out for your body that was broken for you. Everything that this brokenness accomplished was to make you who you are now in Christ, a new creature. Now lift up the body and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Broken for me. Please eat the body. Lift up the blood. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
That has washed me and keeps washing all men.
The blood of Jesus. You may drink the blood, please. Mm-hmm.